Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Welcome to It Mondays here at Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, and you will get to some of your thoughts and comments in the stream yard. Can dial us up at 489-1240 on the Hail Varsity Radio Network. Always find us on YouTube, the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, or Hail Varsity Radio Twitter at H Varsity Radio. Can give us a follow there. We'll check in with Nebraska rivals Tim Verghese. Big recruiting weekend. A lot of talent, a lot of pass catchers in town to check out the spring extravaganza. And Nebraska did not disappoint with 61 pass attempts. Who's intrigued by Nebraska? Some big-time targets, 5 stars, 4 stars, rush ends, all that good stuff. Tim will give us the goods there in hour two, the Black Shirt Hour. Mr. Black Shirt Charlie McBride, coach, will join us at 5. Jay Moore, Black Shirt Husker NFLer. What Jay think of the spring game? As part of Big Red Wrap-Up's coverage, Jay will check in with us. Open phone lines for you. We'll check in with Tim. A lot of room for you in this first hour. Can always email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com. I do want to send this note out, and it's a chance for you to give back, and it's with the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill. They're having a drive at the La Vista location, a drive for disaster relief today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. till 7 p.m. So if you feel obliged to drop off hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods, all will be donated to Heartland Hope and the Project Intentional to distribute to those in need. And so many folks have gathered, Nebraskans helping Nebraskans here the last 72 hours plus, and we can't thank you enough. Also can donate $10 to the American Red Cross when you text Red Cross, all in caps, to 90999. So the La Vista location of the Herdat Sports Bar and Grill, disaster relief there today, tomorrow till 7. If you want to drop off items for those in need, help out folks that could use some help right now. 489-1240, the number to get in. We will dive into spring game reaction. Would love your thoughts as well. And before we get to the starting five, you know, there was optimism moving forward, Elijah. There was optimism when you got Dylan Raiola. There's optimism you have Danny Kalen. There's optimism when you have Coach Glenn Thomas come in to work with the quarterbacks. There's optimism because of the depth you're developing on the offensive line. There's optimism because Tony White is back with a bunch of crazed defenders, and I mean that as a compliment. But Nebraska fans are in wait-and-see mode, right? Because you've had your heart broken. Lucy's pulled the football. I get it. Well, you had a chance to see in a practice environment. Now that you saw what you have at quarterback, what you have at offensive weaponry, what you expect to have defensively, have you moved on from can't wait to see, or I should say wait and see mode, to now you can't wait to see? Hurry up and get here 2024, because this could be a breakthrough season. Has it changed your outlook / expectations for next year? Spring games, it's okay to do that. It's okay to not be over generous with the gravy being hype. But it's okay to say, man, it felt good. It looked different. There's some noticeable talent. There's some noticeable athleticism. There's some problems Nebraska can pose to opposing defenses. It better not be, but it won't be as anemic as it was last year, where the defense got to do everything. Defense can still go out and ball out, but you pair it with a competent to good offense, it's okay to start looking at the schedule. It's okay to start saying, all right, where can Nebraska really maybe make a jump? It's clear they have made a jump. It's clear they've made a jump with the talent they have. It's clear they've made a jump with getting guys ready. And it's clear they've made a jump with just all the options they have. Go ahead and start penciling in win after win. Listen, that's how I walked away. And again, Kool-Aid, gravy, hype, all of the above. I was pretty pleased with what I saw on offense just because of the poise and the execution. Does that mean it's going to be that way in Columbus or West Lafayette or at USC? I don't know. But I like the fighting chance Nebraska can now have on offense if they handle their business and stay focused and poised. I think they're a confident football team. And I think they're a confident football team because they see the work they put in. They know that they're talented, but they aren't inflated. Their ego's not inflated. They still know they've been kept grounded in a good way, where they know they still got to go do it because, as rules repeated this spring, you're still 5-7.
Mm-hmm. And just to kind of put all your thoughts down into one.
Why would we do that?
Well, as we reach Monday afternoon, it's time to
you pumped the brakes with both feet, haven't you?
It's time to get off the hype train and to be reasonable.
I'm reasonable. And the guy can throw a 4-yard out, and with downfield blocking, it turns into a 17-yard gain. That's pretty cool.
I'm getting there. One of the things I tweeted on Saturday was that one of the takeaways from Raiola is the dude is different gravy. That's an English shocker term, really, is where that got popularized. That's where I picked it up. I love it. Okay. English shocker. They love saying a dude's different gravy. And I like saying it, too, because I think it's kind of fitting in this case to say Dylan Raiola is different gravy. From what we all saw, by far and away, the most confident and complete-looking quarterback that Nebraska has in their roster right now is the guy who should still be in his senior year of high school. Mm-hmm. That means very, very good things for Nebraska. And I like the gravy analogy because
who doesn't love gravy?
Who doesn't love gravy? Yes. And having a great gravy is awesome, but if your potatoes suck, your mashed potatoes still suck even if the gravy's
awesome.
Does it
enhance the dish or cover up the dish?
There it is. That's perfect.
This is not to cover up any $4 hard as a hockey puck piece of beef.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Like
you hope.
Like a really good gravy can elevate a good dish.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can save and make a horrible dish somewhat passable. Where is Nebraska at? That's kind of the question I'm at right now. Or like, I don't think
is it the Griswold family Christmas dinner, or is it a 5-star dining experience?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, I think it kind of works. Like we can all accept Dylan Raiola, despite the fact that a lot of defensive starters are out, and despite the fact that I don't think Tony White was given the quarterbacks.
Tony White was on strict restrictions.
Yeah.
You got to take one for the team here, Tone.
Like, with that in mind, like, no, don't go down to the local sports book and throw down all your money on Dylan Raiola to win the Heisman Trophy this season. I'm not in that place, but I am in the place of saying Nebraska has found their quarterback for the next 3 seasons, assuming transfer portal doesn't get in the way. Nebraska's found their quarterback for the next 3 seasons. They can find a guy they can build around. What does that mean for 2024? I'm not quite sure. How good can Dylan Raiola be in 2024? I'm not quite sure. Like, the main takeaway is Nebraska has found their starting quarterback. You found a guy you can build around, and you can find a guy that recruits can be excited about. And that's, what we're hearing from a lot of these recruits. We'll get here in about 10 minutes a report from Tim Verghese, as you said, on just what the recruiting weekend was. But, like, you have found a guy that you can build this roster around. What is the rest of the roster? I don't know. What does year one look like for Raiola as a freshman coming in, going against defenses that likely in the season will actually make adjustments and likely have game plans in order to slow a guy like that down? We didn't see that from Nebraska's defense in the spring game. Like, there's more factors to add to this conversation But I think you can simply say Nebraska has found their guy at the quarterback position, and the guy that Nebraska has found at the quarterback position is a hell of a lot more impressive than almost any freshman quarterback that I have seen watching Nebraska during my lifetime. I'm not willing to compare him to other guys around the country, but I think in terms of a freshman quarterback, technically pre-freshman quarterback performance in the spring game,
the pre-frosh,
it was more impressive than anything I've seen. Does that mean Nebraska's going to go 10-2 next year? No, definitely not. It's just the gravy.
But you know, having
a big gravy is big. Having a good gravy is important.
It is. KG is in, as he's first here in the stream. Like Dylan, I'm QB1. He proclaims himself Dylan Raiola of the board. Jeff is in second. Brandon third. Black Hills Brennan checks in at 4. Shane, you are 5. Dion is 6th man. NASCAR Eric checks in. Good to have you, NASCAR Eric. Patrick here. Vince is here. And Vince is already heeding your hype warning. And Vince says Dylan is the next Patrick Mahomes. The other Brian. Other Brian, good to have you, brother. Good to see you. Happy Monday. The other Brian checks in. He was asking about John says Roll Tide. John, good for you. Scott is here, and he responds to the other Brian's question. Will any of Nebraska's other quarterbacks pick up the portal phone? I think they're all in. We will burn this tape if I'm wrong, but I think they're all in to just keep kind of grinding away. I think there's, you know, and Rule did this spring, and we'll talk with Jay Moore about it, but all the young guys got a lot of work, Elijah. It's hard to be looking around for other work because you're not happy with your current situation. You're given an opportunity to better yourself, make an impression, and get on the field the way things have been set up with the Nebraska practice set up. It's a lot different than other spots. You can go take a bag of money here or there, and is the situation going to change? If you move on, do you have a better chance of getting on the field, or do you have a better chance of staying where you're at, keep working, and getting on the field? That's what you got to really listen to.
Well, I think we can compare it in this time, and that's we got a couple of days here where we'll get some decisions. Maybe we'll hear them publicly, maybe we won't. But, like, everyone out there, I would say, for the most part, has held a job at some point in their lifetime. Everyone that is listening, most likely. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, you're about to. If not, maybe you have parents that have held a job. I'll use this analogy. You can love your job, but if somebody comes in and tries to double your salary, you got to listen.
Sure.
It doesn't mean you're going to go take the job. Maybe it's not double. Maybe they're just increasing your salary. Maybe it's just better benefits. You got to listen. You got to do what's best for you. So I'm not going to sit here and say, nah, Nebraska's 100% in the clear here. There could be somebody that swoops in and says, you know what, I need a quarterback. I'm going to offer some big money for a quarterback or a defensive back or name a position on the field. That is always a possibility in the back door. And, like, if you ask yourself, anyone out there is holding a job, like, you might love where you're at, but if somebody comes in and doubles your salary, you have to think about it. Maybe you're going to go take that job. That is kind of where we're at right now. I am not willing to say with certainty that guys are or aren't going to be transferring because it's a little bit – there's just decisions to be made.
It's the Wild West.
It's the Wild West, and there's going to be decisions that need to be made over the next couple of days.
Brian checks in. Quarterback room is much improved for sure, but remember that scrimmage was set up for the offense to excel. A lot of starters on D weren't in. Pretty bad scheme, pretty bland scheme, I should say. Just shedding some reality. Brian, you're right, brother.
That's what the Monday afternoon after the spring game
was.
Like, to come back to earth and be like, let's have a bit of
practice.
Reality check.
Sure.
It's just a practice.
But you had the same practice a year ago produce 8 turnovers. You had 2 interceptions and 97 plays. From a crispness standpoint, you got to like it. From a running between the tackles standpoint, you got to like it. From a blocking downfield standpoint, you got to like it where you can turn some true yak yardage out. I mean, that's what was cool, was Nebraska got a lot of yards when there was no contact because the blocking was there. And to your point, Brian, you're right. You didn't have some of those werewolves out there killing people for Tony White. They were watching. Let's hear from Matt Rhule real quick. His quick take on the offense, cut one from Saturday's postgame.
I mean, there were some explosive plays. There were some extended drives. You know, there was some big plays. You know, I have to probably watch the film to see kind of who did what. You know, obviously sometimes, you know, maybe some players are matched up against a player that's just maybe older than them or better than them. But I thought there was a lot of positive energy in terms of the way the offense conducted themselves, got in and out of the no huddle, sometimes got in a huddle. You know, just the overall feel from the field where I was felt really good. And so those are things I was looking for. You know, obviously the two turnovers back-to-back I didn't like. You know, happy that the defense made those plays. And then felt for the rest of the game that, you know, some plays were made that, you know, we have to make.
489-1240, that's the number to dial up. A lot of time for you this first hour. Your reaction to the spring game, I'm pleased with it. If I'm looking at it as a guy who's covered Nebraska football for a while, you've got a great trigger guy, and you've got weapons, and it'll get tougher. That is for sure. It's not going to always go swimmingly, but I think you got a pretty good mentality on this football team. Dion checks in. Let's redo the spring game with all the defensive starters playing and the QBs without the green jerseys. Let's see how different it turns out. I'd love that, Dion. You don't want to get anyone hurt, though. This was to get your feet wet. This was to get your feet wet. The other side of Dion is we're winning four natties in a row, four Heismans. Players will be paying Nebraska money to come here and play instead of Nebraska paying them. Oh, wait. I just woke up from a dream. Brian asked the question, does anyone know how long Bly Hill is out? We do not. With Demetrius Bell, both were substantial injuries. That's the word from Rule. Walter asking if anyone's hit the portal today, not to our knowledge. We'll get to Montana Husker fans' comment in just a moment. More of your comments in the stream, Hail Varsity YouTube channel. Tim Verghese, Nebraska Rivals, the recruiting weekend up next on Hail Varsity.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for spending time. We'll get to your comments here in the stream. Hail Varsity Radio, powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal. You can find and follow, like and subscribe to Hail Varsity YouTube channel, Hail Varsity Radio, Twitter at HVarsity Radio. Tim Verghese with us in the stream at Tim Verghese. Follow him on Twitter, Nebraska Rivals. Tim, good to spend some time. Thanks for a few minutes. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about y'all? I know it's been a wild weekend.
It has been. We're kind of trying to do that whole balancing the scales of justice thing with hype versus reality. And it was fun to see Nebraska's offense look that clean and crisp. And I want to get your take before we dive into the double-digit visitors. You've had a chance to catch up with some high-profile dudes. And what's cool is you saw a lot of formerly high-profile guys really show out and shine. Play pretty well on Saturday, but overall, your takeaway, man, you've seen a lot of spring games, you've seen different programs, you've seen Nebraska as well, and what did Saturday show you?
I think the main takeaway is just the offense, and again, trying to manage expectations here, of course, but I mean, I had multiple coaches text me after the game or after watching and being like, man, Dylan looks completely in control of the offense. Like in the moment you're watching it and it's clear one guy just has a different feel of the offense than the other two quarterbacks. But when I'm seeing like quarterback coaches down in Texas, out in California, just coaches texting me and being like, man, Dylan doesn't look like a freshman. Like this guy, this looks like a guy that's, you know, had a lot more time in the offense than just one spring. Like there's a lot that was happening with him that I really took away and was really impressed with. You know, we touched on it immediately after the game on our show, but just some of the creativity off script, you know, like one play in particular, he's kind of directing traffic downfield as he's rolling out to his right. The play's broken down and he, you know, just finds the, I think it was a tight end, just found the tight end and connected on a short pass there. It's just really impressive stuff from him. Obviously the main takeaway, Barney having the day he had, that left an impression on a lot of recruits, just showing them that, hey, these freshmen can come up to Nebraska and they're getting developed and they're playing. You know, it's guys that played against Barney even last year that are like, that wasn't the same player we played against a couple months ago. You know, just the development they're seeing in these short few months these guys have been on campus.
Tim Vergese with us here on Hail Varsity Radio, Nebraska Rivals at Tim Vergese on Twitter. So let's get into some of the visitors and why not stick with the quarterback theme. TJ Lateef, stud out of California. What is his feedback? What's the latest and ascent once that as well in the stream? So what's the word on Lateef? What do you think of the visit?
Yeah, so I haven't been able to connect with him individually post-visit. I've talked to some sources close to him and then talked to just people around the building. Nebraska made a positive impression. I think the big thing for him is he scheduled this OV way back in January. Like as soon as Nebraska offered, pretty much he had this scheduled and was ready to come out here. Nebraska, the main things he's been looking for is just progression from the offense. He's got a good relationship with Glenn Thomas. He's got a good relationship with Marcus Satterfield. And he looked comfortable, you know, on the sideline on Saturday. He is one of those guys that is solely just looking for development, isn't really looking for like an NIL bag, isn't really looking for, you know, a specific situation or anything. He's been high on Nebraska's offense. Like it feels like a pro style system for him that he thinks can prepare him best for the league. And, you know, he wants to play. That's, I think one thing that's going to potentially work against Nebraska here is he wants to play somewhat early. And obviously, you know, that path to playing time seems limited now, you know, I mean, kind of foregone, but obviously seems like, you know, at least the next 2-3 years, it's going to be Dylan. But right now there's just not a program I'm hearing that's close to Nebraska for TJ. Like it's just, it's Nebraska and then it's everybody else. Like, and that's what, there's not a singular program that's coming up outside of Nebraska at the top for him.
It's Tim Vergese with us here talking some recruiting. We just got this scoop on TJ Lateef, four-star quarterback out of California. And Tim, a lot of social media chatter about Michael Terry and his visit within the past 24 hours. Apparently, he left very impressed with Nebraska. What are you hearing on that recruitment? It's a guy that might have a path to the field pretty early should he choose Nebraska.
Yeah, that's a guy that would have a path to playing time pretty early. Would probably be like a day one starter type just off of the athleticism and, you know, his size, speed, and strength combo. He had a good visit. You know, just made it back down yesterday. We texted a little bit yesterday. We're going to get him on the phone today. But you know, I actually got a text from a source close to him this weekend. I said it on our board when I first joined Inside Nebraska, coming from Texas, based on everything I'd gathered on Terry, Texas is seen kind of as a school to beat because he was born and raised a Texas fan, you know, growing up in San Antonio, right outside Austin. Texas has long been seen as a school to beat for him. Texas Tech in the state and Texas A&M have good relationships there. They're both, you know, still working. But pretty much what I've been told is if he leaves the state, it's going to be Nebraska. But the tough thing is going to be getting him out of the state and getting him away from the Longhorns. What's changed in the last couple of weeks or so is Texas doesn't really views Terry as an athlete, and specifically an athlete on the defensive side of the ball. And Terry, as he's gone through this process, he's starting to realize he kind of wants to be a wide receiver at the next level. He wants to stick on the offensive side of the ball. So with Texas being like, hey, you know, we want you to play defense, it has the Longhorns fading a bit. It favors Nebraska. Ultimately, you know, it's still going to be A&M's like pushing hard now, and A&M's going to be using their NIL resources and, you know, this new coaching staff to try and promote, hey, we have, you know, you can still stick close to home. You can still, you know, play, put on for your home state, just maybe not for the Longhorns, but for the Aggies. So the A&M's now become a school to watch. Oregon's another program. It's kind of working there. Texas Tech has good relationships. I just don't think those compared to, like, you know, Texas Tech for him is pretty much the same distance as Nebraska, where we're at this point for him specifically. And where we're at for him at this point is, you know, if he leaves the state, kind of feels like it's going to be Nebraska. At this point, the timeline is just, he's one of those kids that this could go all the way to the fall. This could go all the way to signing day. It's going to be one of those recruitments, but Nebraska made a big impression there. And yeah, I mean, he's the number one wide receiver target on the board right now.
Tim Vergese with us inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals. Follow Tim at Tim Vergese. An edge player, Dawson Merritt, Kansas City region, 500-mile radius for Nebraska. A beast off the edge, a nightmare for quarterbacks. And Nebraska had him on campus. Is it fair to say Nebraska was able to close the gap with Bama in this race for him?
Oh, yeah. This was needed. You know, Nebraska needed to get him back on campus this weekend to close that gap a little bit. And it feels neck and neck at this point between Bama and Nebraska. It's right here. You know, Oklahoma's still in there. Oklahoma's still going to continue to push. But, I mean, me and him got on the phone just 2 weeks ago when he was previously up in Nebraska, and he'd mentioned then itself that Oklahoma – there's good relationships there, but they don't communicate with him to the level that Nebraska and Alabama do. And, you know, as we're getting to this, he's made it clear he's trying to get this thing done sooner rather than later. You know, he's got two more official visits scheduled for June. He's got Bama June 7th and Oklahoma June 21st. At this point, I'll be honest, I don't know if those visits happen. He moved this Nebraska visit up to get a look at Nebraska. He's had two visits to Nebraska this month and two visits to Bama this month. It's kind of coming down to those two. I think we see something out of there sooner rather than later. But I don't think it's a done deal by any means. I don't think one school or the other feels great right now. You know, it's one of those, both programs are still going to be texting and calling, working on him, trying to pull, you know, Bama's got, you know, just the legacy, he's got good relationships with that staff. I think something a lot of people don't know, Washington, when Kalen DeBoer was there, was his third or fourth offer. You know, it was one of the first schools to offer him. So those relationships go like a lot longer than people realize, even though technically Alabama is the most recent program to have offered him. The relationship he has with that staff dates back, you know, at least a year at this point. So there's strong relationships there. I've seen some people make something of the distance there. You know, his dad is the Kansas City Chiefs defensive backs coach, you know, where, you know, Nebraska's driving distance, Bama's a bit further away. I don't necessarily think that's going to be a factor here. He's looking for a fit. He's looking for relationships. And I'll say this much about that. Relationships are the biggest thing for him. And, you know, he said it himself. There's nowhere he has more relationships with people than Nebraska. He knows a lot of people in the Nebraska building at this point, from players to coaches to off-field personnel. That's what's working in Nebraska's favor right now.
Tim, before we get you out of here, Nebraska picked up commitments from Turch and Tinney at the end of last week. Any guys that were in town this weekend that we haven't already discussed that you think maybe we should put on commitment watch, whether it's Nebraska or another school in the next week or couple of weeks?
I don't know if there's anyone imminent. I think a lot of these guys are, you know, the 25 specifically are planning summer OVs and still hoping to play that process out a little bit. And are trying to play that process out a little bit. And sorry, just got a...
No, the bat phone's going off. It's all good.
Yeah. but I'm not expecting anything imminent from this weekend. Again, like I said, a lot of these guys...
You weren't. The 25s.
these 25s do have some visits planned. I think one to keep an eye on, you know, going into the weekend, I kind of had an eye on Pierce Mewberry, local athlete target from Millard North. You know, he's been talking to Nebraska. He's been talking to Kansas State and Minnesota. And he told me earlier this month, he's in the process of setting up official visits to all three. As of last night, he told me only the Nebraska visit set up. And he is pretty much unclear on whether those other two get set up at this point. So I think that's one where Nebraska could be closing in there.
Tim, I need 2 minutes on the other side of this break, if you can give it to us.
I'm not sure if this is what the text was about, but Chief Borders is into the transfer portal, so we're going to
get action. That was the text, yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
So
you had an oh-you-know-what look on your face for just a second, and I was wondering, like, is that a lady texting him? Is that someone in the portal? Is that some breaking news?
It's football news. So, Tim, hang tight. We'll talk Chief. Hang tight. We'll get your take on Cortez Mills. And then we'll let you get out. But hang on a minute for us, if you could. Appreciate it. Tim Verghese, Inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals, with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from Tim. And so we'll continue a couple of minutes. We'll have some reaction to Chief in the portal. And a lot of praise for him this spring. But you've got a loaded jack position. Tim Verghese continues with us. It's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We'll hear some thoughts from Matt Rhule here before the end of the hour. Coach McBride up at 5, and then Jay Moore in the Black Shirt Hour at 5:25. Tim Verghese with us, Inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals, at Tim Verghese. Before we react here to Chief Borders in the portal, Tim, a thought on Cortez Mills, another top 100 wideout that got to see Lincoln.
Yeah, Cortez, caught up with him earlier today. Yesterday had a bit of a travel day, but caught up with him this morning. Posted that story at Inside Nebraska. You can go ahead and read it over there. Again, this is another one just like Dawson Merritt, who we talked about before the break. Nebraska really needed this visit, and this was another one that was somewhat rescheduled to. He pretty much flipped this visit and Oklahoma. He was at Oklahoma earlier this month. And then after that, scheduled a Oklahoma OV for June 14th, and then moved the Nebraska OV up for the spring game. Like I said, Nebraska needed this one to just get right back in that mix. It kind of felt like the Huskers were fading a little bit out of his mind. You know, local Miami and Clemson and obviously Oklahoma, those three had really started, you know, putting the pressure on him over the last couple of months and had started a surge. You know, there was a point in this recruitment earlier this year where I felt like Nebraska was the school to beat, and that earlier this month wasn't the case. Now it's you know, kind of back to Nebraska has staying power now. You know, Nebraska's right in that top four group, right in that mix. The biggest things for him, you know, he told me the biggest thing that surprised him was just how well Nebraska threw the ball deep. He knew about Dylan's talent as a quarterback, and he's well aware of Dylan. Now, I mentioned it in the story, but just to get an idea of how involved Dylan is on the recruiting side of things, Dylan is talking to Cortez every single day. Cortez told me he gets a FaceTime or a text or a phone call from Dylan at least once a day. And that's just been the case for a couple of weeks now, and that's going to be the case. Dylan's working hard there. Dylan's pretty much spent the whole weekend with him and was also the host for Dawson Merritt. You know, clearly those two guys and Michael Terry are like the three most important visitors from the weekend. But Cortez really enjoyed his time up here in Lincoln. You know, he said the first visit he was on was in January, pretty much the first time he ever experienced sub-zero temperatures. And the second time he was in town, he saw his first tornado. But, you know, ultimately, he was like, weather's not really a factor for him. You know, where he's from, you know, there's hurricanes down there. If he goes to Clemson, there'll be hurricanes over there. Oklahoma's in Tornado Alley as well. So, you know, weather's not something that's a real factor in his recruitment. And he even said, he's, you know, if I want to make it to the league, I got to get ready for the cold anyway. So, you know, cold weather's not a factor there either. But yeah, you know, the biggest things I think coming out of that visit were, you know, just that relationship with Dylan. I didn't even until talking to him, I didn't realize the relationship was that strong. And then the second thing, he was just really impressed with the coaching staff. And I think the coaching staff deserves a lot of credit for, and the off-field staff for what they did this weekend. You know, there was a lot happening between the NFL draft, the spring game, the tornadoes. You know, there's just a lot of people to take care of. There were 80 plus visitors in town. You know, there's just a lot of things going on. But Cortez was like, you know, they made it feel like my family was on the visit too. My family felt like a priority just as much as I did. You know, that was the reaction from multiple recruits, multiple visitors. And then on top of that, you think about the fact that this staff was also reaching out to families of current players and families of recruits, checking in on them after the tornadoes, making sure they were okay. They were just all hands on deck this weekend, and they just knocked it out of the park to the point that, like, pretty much everyone I've talked to is left really, really impressed with the culture and the atmosphere, and then the, and you know, just the trust that they're going to be taken care of if they come to Nebraska.
Tim, before we get you out of here, we have a couple of minutes. Your reaction, Chief Borders, into the portal for Nebraska. A guy that, by all accounts, had a strong spring, but a guy that also was probably expected to be a rotational piece for this Husker defense as opposed to a guy that was maybe on top of the depth chart.
Yeah, you know, coming into the spring, I told our Steve Merrick, you know, I think two guys in the linebacker room that is kind of quote-unquote do-or-die time for is Chief Borders and MJ Sherman. This is pretty much the last kind of year of eligibility for both those guys. And Chief, you know, Rule had said it himself, was probably the most most impressive or, you know, had the biggest improvement this spring, I think is the way he put it, most improved player this spring. But yeah, like you said, probably was expected to be a rotational guy. As far as what this means for 24, probably just more snaps for Vincent Shavers. You know, that's probably the biggest thing that my initial takeaway is this probably says about the efforts of, you know, Dylan Rogers was one that kept getting brought up in the linebacker room this spring. Vincent Shavers, of course. As far as Chief, why he's doing this after the praise and everything, you know, it may just be a, hey, there's a starting opportunity for me somewhere else where I'm not part of the rotation. I'll actually have a chance to be on the field, you know, 80, 90% of the defensive snaps all season.
Tim, well, get caught up again. Great work. And thanks for the update today with recruiting. And I always appreciate you jumping on with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
There he is, Tim Verghese, Inside Nebraska, Nebraska Rivals, at Tim Verghese is where you follow him on Twitter. I look at the Jack position, and he had Prince Will and Sherman, a couple of linebackers that he mentioned that made some moves even early in their career this spring, Shavers and Rogers. And if you're Chief, it is going to be about playing time, and it just comes down to looking at potential depth. And I don't think Tim's wrong, and Elijah, you know, what, how much playing time's good enough, and what do you earn? And Chief, good on him for making the jump, and it sounds like he was really doing well off the edge this spring. But now you're in position potentially to pack up your stuff, find another landing spot, and then start from square one, even if you're not told you're starting from square one.
Well, I just look at this like you look at the edge rushers that Nebraska has, and we didn't get to see all of them in the spring game, but not just specifically the Jack position. I kind of zoom out and just look more generally pass rushers. Mm-hmm. On third and long, you're going to find a way to get your pass rushers out there, whether they play Jack or defensive end or whatever. So I'm just going to say,
you're going to have Williams. You're going to have interior.
I say James Williams,
yeah.
Prince Will, MJ Sherman.
Linhart.
Like, it's a crowded room of, are you going to get out there on third and long and be able to get after the passer?
Third and kill him. Nebraska's got four or five options.
Like, yeah, you can get out there. Prince Will's had a long drive, so he's headed to the bench, and now here's your chance, Chief, to get in here. I'm not in the room, so I don't know how this is actually working out. It's just my forecast of it as I react to this news. I guess a somewhat crowded room where you need somebody to step out and show out and be a guy that can differentiate himself as a pass rusher, and I don't think Chief was that guy necessarily. So if you're going to be a rotational player in your last year of college football, getting out there but not being a consistent go-to pass rushing guy, go find an opportunity that is going to give you that opportunity. And again, what is going to be your last year of college football?
489-1240, about 10 minutes here till we catch up with Coach McBride. More comments in the stream. You like the headway that Chief had made, and you're just kind of thinking, you know, his athleticism and ability off the edge was just another option to have, but you can't fault him for looking elsewhere. We'll have the interview with Tim posted up on the podcast platform, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, where you can find us with Hail Varsity. Like and subscribe to the channel. Also, Hail Varsity YouTube channel, like and subscribe. That's where the digital pod is posted. We'll wind down this first hour. Some more comments from Rule. And great to be with you. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager.
Hail Varsity Radio is live. Now, back to Schmitty.
Schmitty's a great guy, but he don't have a brain.
And Elijah.
You want me to speak?
We're not pointing you yet.
On Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time this hour. Coach McBride is 10 minutes away. Jay Moore with us. Reminder, you can help friends in need in Nebraska after the tornado destruction. And Herd Ant Sports Bar and Grill, the La Vista location, going to be having disaster relief drive going on. That is today till 7 and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Again, at the Herd Ant Sports Bar and Grill location in La Vista, the disaster relief drive going on. So that means you can collect hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods, and bring them to be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for disaster relief to those in need. Make a note of that. Also, you can donate $10 to the American Red Cross. What you need to do is text Red Cross in all caps to 90999. So if you want to help out with your pocketbook or some items, please do so with your friends at Herdat. 489-1240. Let's hear a little bit more from Matt Rhule on Saturday's spring game. His thoughts on Dylan Raiola, and this cut two from Matt Rhule.
I think Dylan's had a very good spring. The plays I liked, you know, I was up doing the radio, TV at one point, you know, that one where we kicked a field goal that we missed. You could see he wanted so badly to throw the ball back across the middle of the field as he was scrambling, and he didn't. The one scrambled in's probably a sack, but he's got two hands on the ball as he's running. So it's gonna be the little things with Dylan, not the big things, right? He's got a great feel for the game. He's got a big time arm. He's calm. It's gonna be the little things. It's gonna be protecting the football, taking three, managing the game. I thought it just felt like he did a lot of those things, but he hasn't done all of them. He's grown as the spring's gone on. So he, like all the rest of our players, I think, had a chance today to just improve on what they did last week, and I thought in a lot of ways he did.
Can we squeeze in a thought on Ja'Cory Barney from the head man? Do we have time?
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's hear about Ja'Cory Barney, because he wowed.
Yeah, I felt bad for him. I think he thought the kicker was the same color jersey as him. I was watching that one on TV. But, the kickoff return's hard to tell, right, because it's not live. But I watched the TV replay up there. I think Kobe grabbed his flag, and that's it. So, but Ja'Cory's dynamic, and he's tough. You know, he's still learning a lot. Like, you know, they jumped off sides, and he took off before the ball was snapped because he saw them jump off sides. So he's really a smart player. But he's really, really competitive, really fast. If we can bring just a little bit of that kick return dynamic to our team, that changes things. And then, you know, he can play all three spots because he is quick and fast and can catch the ball across the middle.
So good news there. We'll try and squeeze in some more thoughts from Rhule as the show progresses. Wanted to remind you about buckling up, hands on the wheel, eyes and focus straight ahead. The driver, one job, that's to drive. A message from the NDOT Highway Safety Office to get buckled up. Lots of folks here in the stream commenting on, yes, the quarterback play, yes, the borders portal, but I like what I'm hearing and seeing with the tight ends. And Moonbot7 checks in. Barney will return the opening kick against Colorado.
That's a bold prediction for Moonbot.
I don't
because
think Nebraska,
if we make bold predictions like that, we can burn the tape. He can't.
Well, I have white out. We can hook him up. Coach McBride, what he think of Saturday? That's next on Hail Varsity.
This is Christian Peter. I'm sorry, but the stories I have about Charlie are not appropriate for the public.
The right case of the Mondays. It's Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, on Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity. We're powered by Cornhead Lager, Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbal. So we're working on our phone setup and system, so we're trying to dial out. Can you try, Elijah, the 221? Try that one.
It's not a problem with the phone lines. It's a problem with the physical phone I have in here. So I'm going to get this online. I'll make it work. Just
okay.
About
you're good.
Seconds
you're
here.
Good. No worries. We'll hear from Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, get his take. Jay Moore is coming up as well in hour two. So three touchdowns, five drives, one turnover, zero punts for Dylan Raiola. Do you like what you saw? And when it comes to expectations for 2024, you know what? It's okay to smile. And here are some of the weapons Nebraska's got that you got to be thrilled about with your quarterback, your trigger guy. And you have Malachi Coleman, you have Nayor, you have Banks, you have Lloyd, you have Bonner, you have Barney, you have Fedoni. There's Ramir, there's Ives, there's Emmett, there's Dowdell, which, hey, I mean, that works well. You've got an experienced offensive line that is playing at a high level, presumably, even though some of the main staples, Scott and Ben Hart, weren't in. You have your quarterback, presumably, and Dylan, that's going to go hang out with Bobby Strope and Patrick Mahomes and keep working to be great. That's a good thing. Montana Husker fan has chimed in. And listen, there's always that caveat with what you have, right? What you have and what you saw. But it's all right. It's all right to think big if you're a Nebraska fan. That's why you go out and get a guy like Dylan Raiola. That's why you go out and get a guy like Danny Kalen. That's why you work with Heinrich Harburg to know that the kid's tough and dedicated to Nebraska. But you saw a whole different throwing motion that's great. Montana Husker fan, here's the comment I meant to get to from a little bit earlier. But Montana Husker fan asked the question, I wonder who Dylan's go-to will be. If he's really Mahomes-like, it's got to be his tight end, don't you think? It's fun to see if this offense will pop. Without further ado, we welcome in Mr. Blackshirt to Monday with Charlie. Coach Charlie McBride joins us. Coach, how we doing? Thanks for a few minutes for joining us.
Well, it's sitting here between raindrops.
Okay.
It's warm, though.
Yeah?
That's all. That's what counts.
It is warm, and you'll take a little bit of rain. I wanted to see what you thought of Saturday. Did you get a chance to watch and enjoy the spring game?
It was hard for me to find out who was I guess they changed jerseys and changed some stuff. And
yeah.
The new announcers were having a tough time telling you who the heck was on, you know, here or there. And mm-hmm. I thought that what I did see in general was I thought the offensive line looked a lot better. They kind of threw the ball a little more in the front half of the game, and then at the end they ran a little bit more, and they showed the potential that they have to. You know, to move the ball, they look a lot more mobile. The players do. I mean, they, you know, I think their depth is better too. That's what I noticed. And you know, they have some experienced guys mm-hmm. that have been around the horn a few times, and so they're, you know, that helps too, I think.
The experience is good. You got a lot of guys getting work in practice. They have gone to what you guys did so well over the years and have that multiple station practice. That's what Rule has been using to get guys developed and coached up. What were you expecting from Dylan Raiola? What were you expecting from Harburg, from Kalen? You're a guy who goes quarterback hunting a lot in your career, and in a quick first look, what did you think of the quarterback room?
Well, I thought it was pretty good. The best part of the whole thing is when Raiola threw an interception, and it actually was a tip ball, mm-hmm. and he said, "Well, that was my fault," you know, and because what happens is he in that particular time, you want to keep the ball down, you know, and then he may, nobody would really say that he made the mistake. They'd say the guy, you know, it was a tip ball and it was the receiver's problem. But it was in some respects. But the quarterback, when he said that, it made me feel a little bit better about him as a person. I don't know the kid very well, so there are certain things you want to kind of listen to and look at when they talk. And I thought, you know, the competition is there. Who the best quarterback is, I don't know. You know, I'm pretty sure that the two of them are going to play. I don't know, you know, what their plans are. You know, they're sometimes they could change, and I think that Harburg is the kind of kid that, you know, you could put him at tight end, you could put him in a lot of places because he's really a good athlete. And so, you know, there's just so many different things, ways they can go. And when you don't sit in the meeting with the tight end, with the coaches and, you know, and look at kids closely, it's hard to really make a decision. And they're going to have a tough time making a decision, I think. I mean, I think they got themselves in a position you want to be in. But it's also a position that the players, you know, have a tough time with. If, you know, if they're both good players and one's not playing, it's kind of a hard thing to, you know, to do.
Well, and Coach, you kind of nail it. We don't know who's going to start. I think we have a pretty good idea of who your likely guy is with Raiola's performance, and it's because he stepped into that spring game and did not look like a freshman quarterback. He kept the ball out of danger. He seemed to have a pretty good feel for what the defense was doing pre-snap. Not sure how much the defense was throwing at him, but to kind of to zoom out a little bit and to take it back to some of your years, do you remember any guys stepping in like this and looking like an experienced guy despite the fact they're a freshman?
No. He doesn't even act like one. I mean, he's relaxed. He's not herky-jerky. He's not – everything he did was – like he's been around, and I think he's been well coached, and I think that he, you know, and he's made a couple of comments about working with a couple of guys, one being the quarterback of the Chiefs, and doing some work with those guys, and, you know, so who knows what those crazy guys do. But a lot of times, you know, sometimes you learn a lot of things about, especially, I'll tell you, especially when you come out on the edge. There's some things about coming out of the pocket and, you know, having to run and do the things, you know, and that the guy from Kansas City knows what he's doing when he comes out of there. And so there's some things somebody's been coached well at, and, I would guess both of them will probably be involved in some of that kind of stuff. So that's a good thing.
Charlie McBride's with us. Few minutes here. Hail Varsity Radio. His thoughts on the spring game. I think Elijah nailed it. He didn't act or look like a freshman. As a whole, you just see a little bit more bounce in this team's step, Coach, from a confidence standpoint. You know what what you have on defense, but to your point, with the offensive line, they're more agile, and then just the athletes. We can talk about the quarterbacks all we want, but Nebraska ran the ball pretty well between the tackles against a limited defense. They also have a lot of options to throw the football to, and Coach, a lot of yak yards as well. There was really good downfield blocking, and Nebraska did well with a couple of deep shots, but they were good over the middle, and they were good out on the edge. And talk a little bit about trying to defend that edge, and it makes a lighter box to be able to run if you want, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think all of them, you know, there isn't one there that isn't you know, is a stiff and can't get out and run.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll tell you, some of those, even the younger guys, kind of impressed me a little bit. You know, I didn't even know their names, and I didn't even know they were on the team. And I bet you a lot of the fans didn't either. But there's some kids that can throw the ball pretty well. There was a kid from Texas that I remember from Austin that they mentioned over the thing. He throws the ball well. I mean, and they, you know, they weren't just scattering them all over the place. And so, you know, I think the quarterback room is okay for, you know, that I can see. And, you know, not being there and not being able to, you know, really spend time talking to the kids and listening to what they say, I think you become a listener more at this point than you do a talker. And because I think it's going to mean a lot how they communicate and how they communicate with the other part of the team and so on and so forth. There's so many things involved in it. It's crazy. And but quarterback is a tough position. But the thing about the defense is they're at a little bit of a disadvantage because they're kind of locked into not being able to do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I know we were. We weren't allowed to run certain blitzes and we weren't allowed to do certain things. And I think that comes into effect. So what you're really doing is getting a real good look at how kids play the game without some help. In other words, you know, of some different, you know, schemes and stuff like that. But I think it's a teaching and a learning situation for both sides, coaches and players.
Coach Charlie McBride with us here on Hail Varsity Radio. Some spring game thoughts with Coach. And Charlie, as I kind of look back to last year, we walked away from the spring game concerned about the turnovers. The ball was on the turf 8 times. Turns out that concern was well-founded. As you look at the game on Saturday, do you walk away from that game with any concerns that stand out to you as being something Nebraska needs to clean up before fall?
You know, it's a funny thing because, you know, my wife doesn't know a whole lot of, I mean, she knows enough. She's been around the game enough. That's the first thing she said to me. They look more confident with the ball in their hands, you know, all of them. And she said it didn't look like it sometimes, you know, when we watch the game, all of a sudden, you know, they're on the ground or they're doing some things that weren't natural. And, I think that the communication during the year and during spring ball as to how important these things are, I think it has to be ingrained in these players because sometimes they're more interested in how well they look running with a ball, and even if they drop it sometimes when they're young, they get to a point running the football and practicing, and they get to a point where they really concentrate subconsciously on protecting the football. And it looked a little bit more like that.
Coach, we have one portal addition from Nebraska. Chief Borders is off to the portal, a kid that they got from Florida. And he has one more year of eligibility. What's your thought on the portal and just what Matt Rhule's done to kind of create an atmosphere of guys maybe not always looking to go to the portal compared to some other spots?
Well, I think he's got some, you know, I mean, where do you want to go better with 1 year left? I mean, you got to go somewhere where there's guarantees and there's, you know, if I was a pro scout, I wouldn't be real excited about a guy that just transfers around. There's second team guys and backup guys that are playing in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, when you're in a good program and you know you're getting well coached and you know you have to, you know, going to a new school, you're a freshman. I mean, you're starting all over again, and you know what happens as it is right now, when you get a guy moved in here, he just doesn't jump on things unless he's just so good. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing to do, and I wouldn't agree with him. I just try to do the best I could if I was him. And, you know, I know they all want to play in the NFL, and it's the money that shows, and it's so many things. You can't blame them for that. But thinking you've got 1 year left, that doesn't sound real good to me. It sounds like you better stay where you are.
Mm-hmm. Coach, we'll check in next Monday. Always love hearing your thoughts. Thanks for a few minutes with us today.
Well, I'm sorry I wasn't at the game.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I mean, but anyway, I just hope that, you know, the things work out for him with, you know, with the players they have that you know, aren't going to be able to be on, you know, a part of the 85. That's the tough thing.
They'll be all right. Coach, we'll check in Monday. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate you having me. Okay, bye now.
All-State, 2-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it, it's Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore with us at Jay Moore 44, co-host Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay Bird, how was the weekend? Thanks for a few minutes.
It was good. You know, the events of Friday and hitting my hometown up in Elkhorn, that was obviously a little sobering. So, you know, prayers and, you know, quick recovery for all those families affected in Elkhorn and Bennington and even parts around Lincoln. And I hope everyone gets up on their feet and back on, you know, a speedy recovery. But other than that, you know, the weather was great for a spring game. I was able to even sneak out in the mornings and hit a few golf balls. So overall, other than Friday's events, it was a really good weekend to see some friends and family.
And as you kind of do look back on Friday, and I don't want to spend too much time on there, it's been a bit of a blessing over the weekend. Like, we're learning on Saturday, no deaths. Everyone that had been injured released from the hospital by Saturday night. Like, for what a tragic event it was, and it still remains, there are some blessings in there in that people are going to be rebuilding, but nobody is going to be going to any funerals here in the near future based on that storm, which is just an ultimate blessing. And based on some of the destruction that you see, kind of mind-boggling that Nebraskans were able to avoid the worst of it, the worst of it being obviously loss of life.
Yeah, no, it's perspective is always a really good thing in life, and you nailed it on the head. Obviously, people lost homes, lost everything, but no lives were lost. So that is one good thing that did come out of it. And I know us as Nebraskans, where everyone was quick to help. I was up in Omaha. I was in Elkhorn actually yesterday, not near where the damage was, but just talking with people, and it sounds like they're turning away volunteers. So a lot of people are up there trying to do their part to help out, which not surprised at all. Just we take care of our own. So as bad of a situation it was, it kind of brings out the best in people too, in scenarios like this. So that's always good to see.
Real quick update with a way to help out Herdad Sports Bar and Grill. The La Vista location is holding disaster relief today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. So what we're doing there is collecting hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods to be donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution. And those in need can also donate $10 to the American Red Cross by texting in capitals Red Cross to 90999. If you want to help out or have some clothing or non-perishables, you want to drop by the Herdad Sports Bar and Grill at La Vista. Jay, we're thinking of you and in your community, and thanks for sharing just a little bit of your past few days with these tornadoes. With Saturday, it brought a smile to a lot of Nebraska fans. The spring game, 60,000, big recruiting weekend, and one of the biggest recruits to get on campus, showed up and looked pretty poised in Dylan Raiola. Let's start with the obvious. And Jay, you had some fam with you, and you had the all 22 view out of that north end zone spot. What'd you like about the quarterback play, not only Dylan, but what you saw from the offense?
Yeah, I think just in general, overall, it's kind of what you want from a spring game. They got on the field, they got their business taken care of, really efficient, not too sloppy. You had a couple injuries. There's a couple turnovers, some interceptions. That's going to happen when you're playing multiple people, different quarterbacks with different receivers, different offensive linemen, you name it. Mistakes are going to happen, and that they're supposed to happen. It's a practice. But I had a great view. It was in that North Stadium, you know, probably, I don't know, 15, 20 rows up from the field, and just a excellent view of just how everything unfolds, what you're seeing from a coverage perspective, what you're seeing from a D-line perspective, route tree concepts, all this stuff. And I don't think I ever get too high. I don't ever get too low when I chat with you guys. But overall, the quarterback play was good. I thought Dylan was good. I thought he made some. The biggest thing I take away from Dylan is I think everybody, all quarterbacks, arm strength is not a question in all three of them. But what I take away from Dylan was the ability to kind of throw those off speed pitches. You know, have some control over that. We haven't seen that out of quarterback play in recent years. I think a lot of quarterbacks have always had strong arms, so they can throw a good out route. They can kind of squeeze it in there. They can throw a deep ball. But, hey, can you put some touch on it, drop it in the bucket on a tight end run to seven route or, you know, maybe a receiver kind of sitting down in the zone in the middle of the field, but you got to get it over an outreaching hand of a linebacker. You know, that's not a fastball. That's you still got to put some air on and some touch. So I think that's what I take from watching him Saturday was his ability to kind of have some touch, right? But have the ability also to throw, have a fastball and to squeeze in some tight areas. But just seemed poised. He didn't try to force anything. Kind of gave what the defense gave him, threw the ball away. You know, he took off running a few times. I mean, it's a glorified scrimmage. It's a practice. So I'm glad it went that way. I'm glad it wasn't like, you know, he did throw that nice ball to Lloyd on that deep ball. That was a great pass, great play, great execution. But you know, if it had just been deep shot after deep shot after deep shot and go routes here and, you know, all go specials and he threw for 500 yards, I think, you know, it doesn't do that doesn't do him any good. It doesn't do the fan base any good because all of a sudden they think, you know, this is the second coming of Joe Burrow, whoever it is, you know, right? He's the Heisman Trophy, all this stuff, the hype train, and it's already kind of gotten off the rails a little bit after Saturday. But I think it's just it was just a nice intro to what he's able to do. But also, what I take away too is, hey, Danny Kalen is a hell of a player. He is really good. He's not quite to where doesn't have the comfortability within the offense that I see. Things were just a little more efficient when Dylan was in there. And again, granted, he was playing with older guys, guys who have played more, so that's going to happen. But I thought Heinrich looked much improved throwing the football as well. So I think we have some options, right? And even when you only have three quarterbacks, and I know there's a fourth, but realistically, you have three scholarship quarterbacks on your roster right now. And I think Dylan's your 1A. I think Heinrich's your B guy, and then I think Kalen's probably your third string guy, just of what I saw on Saturday, and how I, you know, with spring ball and how it kind of everything shook, you know, how the cookie crumbled. But like I said, I'm not. I saw some good things, I saw some bad things, I'll reserve some more judgment, I guess, when they play UTEP here in a few months.
Yeah, Jay, you kind of hit it. Saturday after the spring game into Sunday, that's for the overreaction, even into Monday morning. And then as we get into Monday afternoon, this afternoon drive time slot into the rest of the week, like, it's about bringing it back down to earth and being a little bit more realistic. And you said something that really stood out to me over the weekend, that Dylan Raiola took what the defense was giving him. Like, he had command over the quarterback position, which was really, really impressive to me for a guy that should be going to prom next week. Like, I'm not sure when his actual high school prom was, but you get what I'm saying. And I think the command over the quarterback position was impressive. The fact that he never really put the ball into danger, as you said, taking what the defense was given and making the easy throws. My question to you, being a guy that had that all 22 type view from the end zone, how much do you think the defense was giving him? I guess how much was Tony White holding back in a game like this?
I mean, it was pretty basic. They rarely blitzed. It was three-man pressures, four-man pressures, and sometimes they, you know, bring some guys in the A-gap area. I mean, it wasn't exotic whatsoever. I can think of all the spring games I've been through. I mean, it was base stuff. And maybe you ran a few different coverages. Maybe you ran a basic blitz just to mix it up, keep people honest. And a lot of times it was just to, you know, throw a little wrench in the OC's game plan a little bit. Maybe say you're not going to blitz, but you do it just to needle him a little bit. But other than that, you always want to keep it basic. You want to get your guys who you know are going to play on Saturday some good quality reps. And a lot of those guys didn't even play on Saturday. But you want to get guys reps that are going to get them all on in the fall. But you want to see what your guys behind them can do. And the most important thing is you've got to be able to understand and play well and play fast within your base calls. And that might be 3-4 calls. But you got to be able to execute those at a high level in front of a crowd with some noise. I know, trust me, it's nowhere near like it will be when they play UTEP in the fall, but you've got to see what they can do in some pretty calm, you know, some normal situations. So nothing was definitely exotic. No, there was nothing crazy, but he went out there and operated and did what he needed to do. He made the right throws. He had the one bad throw. They got picked at, tipped and intercepted, and he said he put in a bad spot. It's going to happen. I don't know. It's kind of just is what it is. There's, like I said, there was some good. He was efficient. He did exactly what he needed to do. He did. He operated well and took what the defense gave him. And like the defense gave him, they didn't give him a lot. So, but offensively as well, they didn't have to do it. It was basic. Rule said it was going to be very, very basic, plain stuff. And that's exactly what we got. And I'm okay with that. That's what spring game should be, is just go out there, get some good, high quality reps. Don't get people injured. Take care of the football and then get rested up. Get ready for summer conditioning.
Jay, in your opinion, do you think there's any benefit to the guys in the team knowing who the starter is going into summer and going into fall if they don't already know?
Not necessarily. I don't think there needs to be a major announcement now. Guys are going to get plenty of reps. You know, they're going to have all sorts of 7-on-7 sessions and throwing sessions in the summer, before workouts, after workouts. Then once you get into fall camp towards end of July, early August, there's going to be tons of reps that are going to be getting there. And everyone's going to get plenty of time with Dylan, plenty of time with Heinrich, plenty of time with Danny Kalen. But as game time gets closer, that picture's gonna become more and more clear. But there is some chemistry that needs to get developed. But overall, I think if everyone operates on the same page and knows where they need to be within a 3-step, a 5-step, everyone's on the same page of knowing where to cut in, cut out, stop in references to certain coverages. The quarterback, you know, it shouldn't really matter who the quarterback is at that time. It's just whether who can handle the pressure in games, right? Who has a calm mind as a quarterback in those situations to remember the practices, to try to calm their mind, to take them to inside the Hawk Center on a Tuesday or outside at the Memorial Stadium on a Wednesday night practice, is to try to recreate that scenario and not get too overwhelmed. I think that's probably the biggest issue there, more than chemistry, in my opinion.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, what do you think of the weapons around the quarterback room? The run game looked good between the tackles, but you've got Lloyd that's going into his second season. You've got a healthy Fedoni. Ja'Cory Barney really flashed. Jamal Banks seems to be your third down possession guy or red zone option. And then you got Bonner as a matchup issue, as a flex guy. I mean, there seems to be a whole lot of choices for whoever's playing quarterback.
Yeah, and some of the guys are still hurt. You know, we don't have Malachi didn't play, and we saw a little bit of Nair, you know, here and there. But I think Barney was kind of we've heard flashes and heard things about him, and he showed up, maybe the kickoff return. I think he had the one catch in the south end zone there in the corner from Harburg. So he showed up and made some nice plays. He's going to play next year. Weapons are there are some nice ones, and I know we're going to utilize them, utilize everyone. I think Fedoni could have a crazy good year. You want to talk about just given what the defense is giving you and just being efficient in simple things. I mean, he can make a killing on Saturdays next fall, just simple stuff. And then they give you something, go do it, go make a big play. But the weapons, and again, we had okay weapons going into the season last year, but everyone got hurt. So we're developing depth. With Fedoni and then Borkature and Bonner, you could put him in that same area, maybe as a fullback too, potentially, but just a Swiss Army knife in general. Then the wide receiver room is strong. It's very, very strong right now. It's going to get stronger when they get Malachi back and healthy. Competition is awesome. Everybody's going to have to be on point just with how many good bodies that there are in that room. Offensive line-wise, you're going to get better protection from that crew. The run game looked solid. Dowdell had a nice run, showed some burst, some flash. You know, you don't see Ramirez, you don't get Gabe Irvin. So, you know, overall, if everyone stays healthy and doesn't, you know, jump ship into the portal, the weapons that Nebraska's going to have hit in the fall are, I'd have to think back to probably, you know, the Amir days, mm-hmm. you know, with a Kenny Bell and an Amir and a Seathan Carter and a
you had Alonzo Moore and
Alonzo,
Wiley and
maybe a
DPE.
A Quincy Enunwa type of situation, you know. So it's good. It's really, really good. We just haven't had depth like this in weapons around young quarterbacks in some time.
Jay, what did you think of Matt Rhule's plan this spring in the era of the portal? And we'll know if there's any folks that wander into the portal for Nebraska. But for the most part, guys have been just working. Now that spring's over, you got a couple of days left. But his plan was to let the older guys kind of coach up the younger guys. But you had a whole bunch of young guys get reps, improve their game, see some progress. And if you're active in doing versus watching and sulking, that's going to help make an impression about your future, where you're at versus looking around. I thought it was intentional in a good way for Rhule to keep getting those young guys engaged and get them a bunch of reps. And you saw it pay off last year with all sorts of options personnel-wise with the number of young guys that got in last season. Do you think it could pay off here with limited attrition?
I think so. I was able to get to one practice about 2 weeks ago on a Thursday, and no one's standing around. Everyone's doing something. And we've always talked about how TO's practices were, even with Coach Solich, the stations, and everyone's getting reps, and that's pretty close. I think that's with the evolution of the spring league, having the three different units. You had three different situations and going at once. No one standing around. You had, even when you break it down to O-line versus D-line, multiple groups going, no one standing around, or rarely. You might be off for a couple plays and you're back up again. Very, very efficient. You know, everyone's working. You might have some competition time where it's one on, you know, 1-0 versus 1-D, and it might be for five plays, but then boom, everyone's splitting back up again and everyone's getting reps. It made it tough to watch practice, because there's so much going on, but that's what you want, and that's what that's how you develop young talent, and that's how you keep young players from getting complacent and sulking and feeling sorry for themselves. So I think you'll continue to see that, and everyone is. I tell you what, you can't be mentally weak on this football team. You'll have your position coaches. You'll have the head coach, head man calling you out right in front of everybody. All the strength staff is on you. If you're not practicing and you're, you need to be working out, you're on the assault bikes, you're doing something, and they're on you. So you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. You don't have time to think about plan B or that what if the grass is greener somewhere else. They demand a lot of you, which they should, and they need to be, because to win, we haven't sniffed 7 wins in a long time. And so it's good. It was good to see. And it's going to continue to be like that. And they're going to work. They're going to work until they get it right. And once they get it right, they're probably going to find something else that needs to get worked on. They're continuing to work. So everything that's going is I love to see. And I think we're finally going to start seeing some results here rather quickly.
Jay, last thought here, probably before we get you out running up against it. Your biggest concern coming out of the spring game is what?
It's weird. I mean, I saw some good things, but it's still, I don't know if it's a concern. You're putting me on the spot here. If I had to find one thing, it's still going to be the quarterback play. Okay. You still have young players, and you have a guy that played quarterback last year, that wasn't the starter. So I think that's still a concern. I think they're better. I think they're better in that room. I think Heinrich got better. I think Dylan Raiola makes that room better. I think Danny Kalen makes that room better, but it's still a concern because they're young. The rule says there's a 66% chance that you're playing a true freshman quarterback next in the fall. So that's a concern, just because as much as you want to make practice the way it is and in a spring game in front of 60,000 people, when it's finally someone else and there's 90,000 people in there that matters, you really just don't know what you got until it really matters. It's like a guy that he can do one thing on the driving range. When he gets to the first tee and it matters, it's a different scenario. So we really don't know until we get to that scenario. And that's the one thing that Heinrich has above everybody's. You know, he handles in-game situations. So I think the quarterback room is still a concern for me until we know exactly how these young guys are going to perform when it matters.
How do you handle the moment? Great point. And time will tell as we can start the countdown to UTEP and 2024. Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore, co-host Big Red Wrap Up. Find him on Twitter at JMoore44. Jay, good to spend some time. We'll holler next week. Thank you.
Sounds good, boys. Thank you.
Good stuff from Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Good perspective on his part. Jim, longtime listener, partner, thanks for tuning in into the stream. And Jim's like, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait to real games. 8-4 this year. Jim's saying, give me 8. And a lot of the Nebraska fans excited after Saturday. We'll wind down a Monday edition of Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Get the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play with Hail Varsity Radio. Give us a follow on Twitter, the Hail Varsity Radio Twitter feed at HVarsity Radio. Find Elijah at Herbal Essence. You can find me, Chris Schmidt, at Schmidt_radio. And a lot of you chiming in here in the stream. Let's hear from Dylan Raiola and just the moment Saturday, his emotions.
No, I fought back tears walking out the tunnel for the tunnel walk. Growing up as a kid, that's what I knew and that's what I watched. So being a part of it, you come out the tunnel and you hear the song, it just got heavy for me. So I'm just thankful for the fans coming out, and it was a fun experience.
So you heard from him what it meant to him as a legacy, but also a guy that is really loved Nebraska because of his family for a long time. That was the emotional part. How about the comfort level? And that's a big thing.
Yeah, I have great coaches that prepared me for this. Great teammates that make plays. So, I was just getting the ball to my playmakers, and they made me look good, honestly. So, O-line blocked up great. Running backs ran hard, and receivers made plays. So, they made me comfortable once they made plays. So, I would say that's how I was comfortable.
What do you think you did well?
So that's a big thing. Can we squeeze in Harburg? Do we have time from Rule Cut 8? No?
We can, but it'll put us right into the break.
Nah, I don't want to do that. We'll hear more from a little bit from Rule tomorrow. Big thanks to Coach McBride. Big thanks to Tim Verghese from Inside Nebraska. The recruiting rundown. Don't want to miss that. Big thoughts from Jay Moore. Love talking with Jay. Tomorrow's show will run down Mitch Sherman from The Athletic. We'll spend time with Michael Bruntz. Big showdown for Nebraska. Creighton trying to salvage one game in the series. And then Matt Verzel, going to join us, former Husker offensive lineman. We love talking to Verz. What did he see? What did he like? So we'll talk a little bit more spring game. I do want to add this real quick, and it's a reminder about what's going on with Herd at Sports Bar and Grill and the La Vista location there when it comes to the disaster relief drive. It's going to wind down about 7 tonight, but it's open for you tomorrow if you feel inclined from 11 to 7. And what is going on here with the disaster relief drive here at Herd at Sports Bar and Grill? They're collecting hygiene items, clothing, non-perishable foods, and it's being donated to the Heartland Hope and Project Intentional for distribution to those in need. You have loved ones or friends that are going through some stress, anxiety, and the loss of their homes. So be there for friends, loved ones, neighbors, Nebraskans. Can also donate $10 if you want to the American Red Cross when you text Red Cross in all caps to 90999. So do that if you feel like doing so, and thanks for being there for others, Elijah. So we'll get it locked and loaded, and subscribe and like the Hail Varsity YouTube channel, and can always catch us on different platforms as well. Our friends at AM 590, Omaha's ESPN, live streamed on Twitter there, KFOR Facebook and Twitter. Our friends out in central Nebraska, Kearney, Hastings, Grand Island, the Superstation, News Talk 900 Columbus, and in Lincoln at KFOR. Back tomorrow at 4 on Hail Varsity, powered by Cornhead Lager.
A Herd at Media production.